Such a wonderful blessing to be here at Little Union, and very thankful for the presence of the Lord that's been in our midst. Very thankful for your love and for your hospitality that's already been shown to us. And very thankful for the preaching that's gone on before, the good humble prayer that's gone on before, and ask that you continue to pray as we stand before you. Have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 21. I'm going to go ahead and read this account before we get into it. It said, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, your Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Here we see what I would consider at first glance to kind of be an unusual account. The Lord Jesus has left the area of the Sea of Galilee, and he's walked some 35 miles to Tyre and Sidon. If you look in the two gospel accounts that teach about this event, you'll see that the Lord Jesus came to this area. Some 35 miles he walked on foot, up hills and valleys and across streams and through treacherous terrain. And he encountered this one woman. And then he goes straight back to where he came from. Aren't we glad that the Lord cares about each one of his little sheep? If he has to walk 35 miles, if he has to come to you in your trial and your tribulation and come just for you, he'll do it, little child of God. He comes and he encounters this one woman and walks 35 miles and encounters her and helps her and heals her daughter. And then he walks back 35 miles. That's all he did, the Bible said, in this place. He goes to her. She comes to him and says, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. She recognizes the Lord as the son of David. She recognizes him as the Messiah. I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah would write when he would say, Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it from this point even forever. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. She knew this is the son of David. Matthew would begin describing the Lord Jesus and his genealogy as the son of David. She said, Oh Lord, thou son of David. Oh Lord, I know that you're the Messiah. Help me. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Oh Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Can you imagine the aching heart of this mother who day after day after day sees her daughter grievously vexed, grievously persecuted and tortured by this devil? Can you imagine? what this mother went through. She said, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me." We might think she would have said, "Have mercy on my daughter." But she said, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me." He answered her not a word. I read the whole account for this reason. We know how this story ends. We know that the Lord's going to commend this woman's faith and say, "Oh, great is thy faith." Let me ask a question. Where does faith come from? Is it something we well up inside of ourselves? No. Romans chapter 12, the Bible tells us where faith comes from. It says, "As God had dealt to every man the measure of faith." Romans 12 begins by saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren." So he's writing here to children of God. And the Lord, when he borns us again, puts faith in our heart with those other ninefold fruit of the Spirit. So the Lord is the dealer of faith. If we're playing a card game together and somebody comes up with a card they didn't get from the dealer, you know what I know? They're cheating. God is the dealer of faith, and that's the only place that faith comes from is from God. This woman was blessed with faith because this woman is a born again child of God. As we read this account, we might wonder, the Lord's kind of giving her the standoff treatment, it seems. In our humanity, we may say, "Is the Lord being ugly to this woman?" We know this woman has great faith. We know that she could not have faith without being a born-again child of God, which tells us that the Lord loves her, and he's loved her, Brother Ronald, before the foundation of the world. He loved her. Before he ever said, "Let there be light," God loved this woman, and the Lord Jesus Christ covenanted and agreed to come and suffer and bleed and die for this Canaanite woman. He loved her very dearly. He's not being ugly to this woman, but he's showcasing her faith. Faith is kind of like muscles. You know, the Bible talks about great faith. Here the Lord commends this woman and said, "Great is thy faith." There was a Roman centurion back in Matthew chapter 8 whose servant lay at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And this centurion has a problem, and he knows who has the answer to the problem, the Lord Jesus. And he goes and says, "Lord, my servant layeth home grievously sick of the palsy." Jesus said, "I'll come and heal him." And the Roman centurion said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." You see, one of the marks of great faith is to see the Lord very big, in ourselves very little. See, this Roman centurion was humble. He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you shouldest come under my word. Lord, I'm a guilty, bankrupt sinner. I'm not worthy, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." He recognized that the Lord not only had the power to come and lay his hand on his sick servant, he knew that the Lord could just speak the word from afar and his servant would be healed. He saw the Lord very big and very powerful, saw himself very low. This woman sees herself the same way. When the Lord says, "It's not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs," she says, "Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. I'm nothing. Lord, I'm nothing." But notice what she says there. "Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She says, "Lord, yes, I'm just a dog. I'm nothing, Lord, but you're my master." "You're my master. I'm nothing. Yes, I'm a dog, but you're my master." The Lord is silent at first. You know, silence can be a very powerful thing. Between Malachi and Matthew, there was some 400 years of silence without a prophet. From Malachi to the opening of Matthew. But you know, a lot of times when there's silence, after the silence, something really big happens. And there's 400 years of silence with no prophet after Malachi until the beginning of Matthew, when the Lord Jesus would come. And John the Baptist would come saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is here." You know, when you're waiting for a big play or some kind of production to start and the curtain's closed, and everything gets all quiet, and everybody's waiting, what's next? And then the curtain opens, and you begin to see the play. I'm going to tell you, after Matthew, for 400 years, those curtains were closed. But I'm going to tell you, when they begin to open, we see King Jesus right there as Matthew begins. And the silence is ended. Brother Ronald, I believe, mentioned the healing of or the raising from the dead from Lazarus. You know, when they first sent word to the Lord Jesus that Lazarus was sick, the Lord Jesus for 2 days abode in the same place where he was. He was silent there for 2 days. They're waiting for Jesus to come to make their sick brother well. But Jesus is silent. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he does far more then make a sick Lazarus well. He makes a dead Lazarus alive, which is a far greater miracle. You know, in the Arminian view of salvation, there's kind of a concept that folks are spiritually sick. But if we can give these spiritually sick people the medicine of the gospel, we can make these spiritually sick people well. But the Lord came to do a far greater miracle. To make spiritually dead people alive. A far greater miracle. When the silence was ended, Jesus comes on the scene and makes their dead brother alive. Here Jesus is silent. We see a good example from this Canaanite woman of what to do when Jesus seems to be silent. She keeps pushing forward. She keeps pushing forward. Said he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and saw him crying, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." There's been some preached to us tonight about crying. I take this literally. I believe this woman was crying. I believe this woman was in the depths of despair, and she was coming to the only place, to the only one who had the solution to our problem, to the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She comes. Jesus at first is silent. The disciples say, "Send her away. She crieth after us." What does she do? She keeps pushing forward. Get the scene. The Lord Jesus is leading the disciples. The disciples are here. This woman's back here. The disciples are in the way. I would to God I'd never be in the way. From a little child of God, a little sheep of God, getting closer to a Savior and her Lord. What does she do? She keeps pushing forward. She's behind the disciples. Then she comes in verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She's pushed through to the disciples. And now this word worship literally means she's at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's pushed through the crowd of disciples. And she's now at the feet of her Savior and her Lord, saying, "Lord, help me." Prayers don't have to be grand and wordy. And use all kind of big words. Sometimes the prayer of a child can be so simple. Sometimes when we're in great need and it seems like death is near. We don't have time to pray a big long prayer, but like this woman, we say, Lord, help me. She keeps pushing forward. We talked a little bit about great faith. The Lord commended the great faith of the centurion. He commends her great faith. But there were times where the Lord told his disciples, O ye of little faith. Romans 12, as I said, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That means when God's born again, one of his little children, he all gives us the same measure of faith. We were given the same faith in regeneration. Abraham was, and Daniel was, and David was, and Moses was. We all have the same faith. So how is some folks' faith great? Sometimes faith little. Well, to me, it's kind of like muscles. We're all born with the same number of muscles. But it doesn't look like it, does it? My son, John Marks, worked out a lot more than I have lately. His muscles are bigger than my muscles. I have concealed weapons that are under. I'm a law enforcement officer. We're supposed to carry our weapons concealed, and I keep my muscles concealed under a layer of fat, under some speckled perch. I've kept them. But how do our muscles get bigger? By being exercised. And if we use weights, there's a resistance there. Or we might use some kind of stretching band that gives a resistance there. And those muscles get bigger. You know, faith gets bigger in the trials and the tribulations of life. Faith gets bigger when the world is pushing against us, but we keep pushing forward, trusting in the Lord. Our faith is exercised. Our faith gets bigger. You know something else that resistance does to our muscles? It shows them off. If you've got some bodybuilder and he wants to show off his muscles, he's going to get a big weight in his hand and he's going to pull it up there, going to take a snapshot as he's pulling on the weight and see that big muscle. And I'm going to tell you what I believe the Lord Jesus is doing here is he is showing off this woman's faith. He is showcasing it for his disciples. His disciples have been walking with him, walking along the hills of Galilee, seeing his miracles. But this woman, the Lord commends her faith. She doesn't know him very well. But she trusts in him. She believes in him. She believes that he can and will heal her daughter. And she keeps pushing closer and closer to the Lord. And her faith shows strong. Amen. The Lord's showing his disciples, look at her faith. This sister, look at her faith. In Luke chapter 16, verse 16, the Bible tells us, for the law and the prophets were until John. But since then, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. That's what this woman's doing. She's pressing into the kingdom. What is the most central part of a kingdom? It's at the feet of the king. And she is pressing with all that she has to the very feet of the king, to the very central part of the kingdom. What about us? What do we do? When the trials and tribulations of life come against us, what do? I would to God we do like this woman did and keep pressing toward our Savior and our Lord. No matter what trial or tribulation may beset us, keep pressing into the kingdom. We've already heard about the importance of the kingdom of God, of being in the congregation of the saints and being in the presence of our Savior and our Lord. We desperately need it. Some folks encounter the trials and tribulations of life, and instead of running to the Lord, they run away from the Lord. get mad at the Lord. This woman keeps coming. This woman keeps coming. And Jesus says, great is thy faith. Said her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Mark chapter 7, the same account is given. And it said she goes home. See, the Lord healed her from afar. That's the power the Lord has. He healed her from afar. And the woman goes home. She sees her daughter's been healed. Her daughter is no longer vexed with the devil. And you know what? She's laying on a bed. Why does the Bible tell us that? She had not been able to do that. Her daughter was tormented night and day with the devil. She had no rest. But because of the miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ, her daughter's now resting and peaceful. You know, that's what we have in our Savior and our Lord, and the truth we understand about Him. Because of what He's done for us, we have rest tonight in our Savior and our Lord. This woman's daughter had sweet rest. I would to God that all of us would do like this woman did and keep pressing into to get closer to our Lord. I love what it said about that woman that had an issue of blood. The Bible said she had spent all that she had and she wasn't any better, but she had given all of her monies to the doctors and she was rather worse. Do you know what she did? There was a huge crowd around the Lord. But she said, if I can just press into it, if I can just but touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. And she was. She pushed into the crowd to her Savior and her Lord. You know, a mama that's got a lost child is a good example of pushing into a crowd. Mama that's got a lost child can push all through a crowd, all kind of different ways to get to her child. Here this woman said, nothing's going to keep me from pushing forward to my Savior and our Lord. And she found at His feet just what she needed. And the Lord healed her daughter. May God richly bless you, my brother.